like to thank all participants for holding. All lines will be on listen only until the question and answer portion of today's conference. I'd also like to inform participants today's call is being recorded. I'm now turning the call over to Tom Skinner. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you all for joining us today as we launch the second phase of our Tips for Smokers to Quit campaign. With us today is Dr. Tom Frieden, the director of the CDC, who's going to provide some opening remarks about the importance of this campaign, and then we will get to your questions that you might have. So I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Frieden.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks very much for joining us. I'm going to just give you a bit of information about the Tips from Former Smokers campaign that just launched this morning. This is the second time we've done this. Last year's campaign succeeded our very high expectations for it. And this year's campaign continues in that vein of showing the realities of smoking. Basically, it takes what we as doctors see day in and day out and draws back the curtain from the examining room and shows the reality that smokers live with day in and day out. In addition, this year's campaign has more detail about secondhand smoke and the other impacts that smoking has, not just on the smoker, but also on the people around the smoker. We know, of course, that secondhand smoke causes lung and ear infections. We know it causes low birth weight in babies and sudden infant death syndrome. It increases heart disease and cancer, but it also deprives families of loved ones, and that's one of the themes that you'll see in this year's campaign. We do these messages, we do these campaigns for one simple reason. They work. They save lives and they save money. Smokers tell us that the thing that motivates them most to quit is seeing this type of reality that Americans live with. We've now had about 20 different Americans tell their stories, their real-life experiences. I consider them to be heroes. They are doing something that's not easy. They're talking about very personal things. They're sharing their stories. And they're doing it because virtually every one of them has said to us, if even one fewer person smokes and doesn't get this condition because of what I'm doing, then it's worth it. We know that tobacco remains the leading preventable cause of death in the U.S. Today and every day this year, more than 1,200 people will be killed by tobacco. And today and throughout this year, 8 million people are living with disease and disability and disfigurement caused by tobacco. That's the reality. And in addition, it takes a major financial toll. It costs our society about $200 billion a year, about half of that in health care costs and the other half in lost productivity. Each of the ads has a very clear message to smokers to quit. Now, in the U.S., most people who've ever smoked have already quit. So if you smoke, you can quit. Most people who continue to smoke want to quit. But because many of them started as kids, in fact, the overwhelming majority started as kids and are addicted to cigarettes, it's hard to quit. Ads like this make a big difference. They increase the likelihood that smokers will quit. The first year's campaign had a remarkable impact. It really exceeded our expectations. We saw an increase in more than 200,000 in the number of people who called quit lines to get help to quit. And we know that for every one person who goes to the trouble of picking up a phone and getting the number and writing down the number and calling 1-800-QUIT-NOW, for every one person who calls a quit line, many more try to quit without quit assistance. We also know that more than 500,000 different people clicked on the website to try to get quit assistance. The new TV, print, radio, and out-of-home ads have health conditions that weren't included in last year's campaign. That includes chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, asthma in adults, and smoking-related complications in a person with diabetes. In terms of COPD, as a doctor, I've taken care of many patients with COPD, and it is a terrible disease. Patients gasp for breath with every breath they take. And in terms of diabetes now affects about 1 out of every 10 adults in this country. And smoking rates among people with diabetes are the same as smoking rates among people without diabetes, about 1 in 5 smoke. That's a big problem. As a doctor, when we see a patient with diabetes come into our office and find out that they smoke, we groan because we know that that person is at such a high risk of a heart attack, stroke, and of many problems. And Bill, who is featured in that story, told us when we spoke with him privately, we asked him, what finally made you quit? He said, well, I tried all sorts of things, but I didn't quit until they cut off my leg. And he said, you know, I don't want other people to have to quit in that way. If they see what happens to me and they quit, then it makes it all worthwhile. The ads also feature some groups that weren't included in the first TIPS campaign but have higher than average smoking rates, such as American Indian and Alaskan Natives, where the smoking rate is about twice what it is for others. Also, we're showing a lot about secondhand smoke. Hard-hitting media campaigns are proven to increase quit attempts and increase the number of people who do quit successfully and for good. It's been nearly 50 years since the Surgeon General's report on smoking and health, and we've made a lot of progress, but we have a lot more to do because right now the rates of smoking in the U.S. have basically stalled our long-term decline. We have not continued to see a decline in adult smoking. Even though most people who smoke today want to quit. So these ads are making a big difference. They save lives, they save money, because a smoker costs about $2,000 more than a non-smoker to care for in the healthcare system every year. And for every smoker who quits, we save nearly $1,000 every year in reduced healthcare costs. So in summary, they're real-life stories. They're going to save lives and save money. They're a best buy that's going to have a huge health impact by highlighting the real-life stories of people harmed by tobacco and highlighting the fact that secondhand smoke also kills, also disables, also causes tremendous suffering. So with that, I'll stop, and we'll be able to take some questions.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden. And Brian, I believe we're ready for questions, please.
Okay. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And please hold for our first question. Okay, our first question comes from David Lukowit. Your line is open.
Dr. Frieden, thank you so much for taking the call and launching the campaign on our air this morning. I wanted to ask you why the shift in the style of ad that you produced. The first round was sort of much more dramatic, and these seem to be more personal stories on the family.
I don't think of it so much as a shift, but rather an extension. We're continuing to run the ads from last year, and those went up March 4th, and we've already seen a more than doubling of quitline calls, as we saw last year when we did this. And we have stories like that of Bill, who has had an amputation. We have a new story from Terry, who talks about what it's like to have to deal with the effects of her throat cancer. But we're also showing the effects not just on the smoker, but on those around the smoker. And again, smokers tell us that this is what really makes a difference. This is what encourages them to quit. Sometimes if you won't do it for yourself, you will do it for your family. And as a doctor, these are some of the most poignant moments I've had. I've had patients who were desperate to live long enough to see their child graduate from high school or college and weren't able to, because of smoking. So I think it's another reality that we're bringing home to people that people may experience, but not clearly enough to motivate them to quit. So I think we're not going in a different direction. We're really extending not just the effects on the smoker, but also the effects on those around them.
Thank you very much.
Next question, Brian.
Deborah Kotz, Boston Globe. Your line is open.
Yeah, I'm just curious if there's been any studies. You said that that this has encouraged people to call the quit lines. 200,000 people call the quit lines. But do you actually know how many of those were able to successfully quit? And are there studies that suggest that you know, simply scaring people through these ads will enable them to quit and quit for good?
There's very strong scientific evidence that ads like this make a big difference in encouraging people to quit, and a larger number of people do quit long-term because of the ads. That's been well documented internationally as well as nationally. I will tell you personally that when I was health commissioner in New York City, I wasn't convinced. So this was a few years ago. The international evidence, the national evidence wasn't as strong. We did essentially an experiment where we ran hard-hitting ads, particularly targeted to certain demographic groups, and we tracked smoking rates in those populations, and they plummeted when we started running the ads, and they had been flat before. So there's very strong evidence that these ads work to get people to quit. In terms of quit lines, what the historical evidence shows is that about 20% of people who call a quit line will quit for good. In addition, we know that for every one person who calls a quit line, many people try to quit without calling the quit line. And although their likelihood of succeeding is lower, it's still significant, and so they account for many quits as well. We did do an evaluation in the first year where we had a random sample, a panel of smokers who we surveyed before and 1 month after the campaign to see how many tried to quit and how many succeeded for at least that time period. Those results are currently under review in a scientific publication. I can only say that we're very encouraged by them.
And also just a follow-up question to ask about prevention. You mentioned that the number of adults who are smoking has sort of evened out. There aren't that many people who are, there really isn't that continued decrease. But I'm wondering, is this also targeting prevention of smoking before people start, and has there been a decline in continued decline in the number of people starting to smoke in this country?
So first, to just say a little bit more about the quit lines and quitting, it does take many people several chances, several tries to quit, but there's a lot that people can do to increase their likelihood of succeeding. Any adult who's not pregnant and who wants to quit smoking should probably be on medicine to help them quit. It doubles or triples the likelihood of success, and there are many different FDA-approved medicines to choose from. And there are a lot of important tips on what can work, like quitting with a friend. In terms of initiation or starting smoking in kids, interestingly, what we find is that although we run these ads in a way that we don't run the most graphic ones before 8 p.m. or we don't run any of them on child TV, we found that there's a high degree of recognition of the ads and an impact in some of the studies that outside non-affiliated researchers not affiliated with CDC have done. They've found that kids see them and it makes a big difference. And in jurisdictions that have run ads like this, we've seen big reductions in smoking rates. In fact, there are several jurisdictions in the U.S. where smoking rates in teenagers are now in the single digits, and that's really encouraging. Tobacco control measures work. What we need to do is to implement them so that we can continue to see that decline in smoking rates. It's not that people want to keep smoking. It's not that our tools aren't working. It's that we're not applying them. And this campaign is a great example of an evidence-based campaign that's going to save lives and save money.
Brian, I don't believe we have any more in queue. Is that correct? And if so, I want to encourage reporters to call the CDC press office, 404-639-3286, if they have any follow-up questions. Hopefully they've received our media advisory and know where they can go to actually view the ads. So if there aren't any more questions, I'll ask Dr. Frieden just to sum up for us before we conclude our call.
Well, again, thanks very much for joining us. Tobacco remains the leading preventable cause of death in this country. It costs us $200 billion, $100 billion a year in healthcare costs. Most smokers want to quit. these ads work. They will save lives. They will save money. They'll help smokers quit. And the people who are featured in them are real heroes for coming forward and showing the impact of that smoking has had on their lives and the lives of their families. So we appreciate all of you covering this story. Last year, there was extensive media coverage, and this encouraged even more people to quit. The things that you do in reporting the realities of smoking not only are accurate and responsible, but they save lives. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. This concludes our call.
Okay, thank you. You may disconnect your phone lines at this time.